Fit for service. Fit for service. There's many things that go on in our Christian walk, but one of the things that we need to remember is that we need to have our heart knit with God. And that the reason why we do what we do is not for the appearance of man, not for ourselves, but because our heart is for God. Amen? That our heart wants God to be honored in all things. And so we look at this, and every job that you apply for has some qualifications. If you go to a job and they say you've got to be able to lift 50 pounds, I've never been to a job where they say you've got to be able to lift 50 pounds and they actually had me lift 50 pounds, but that's in the qualifications. If you go and you work at a pizza parlor, you're probably not lifting 50 pounds too often, but they want that in the qualifications. They're asking, are you fit? They'll say, can you type so many words per minute? And you may have a job where you never type, but that may be in the qualifications. And so if it ever comes time that they want you to type, you better know how to type what you said you could type. There's some that say you have to have a certain education or a certain training or a certain certificate. And in order to get that job, to be fit for service there, you have to have this. But listen, I know this. Even if you're fit to do all those jobs, you have to actually want to do the job or it doesn't matter. And in the Christian walk, we come to this familiar story of the sisters Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, who Jesus raises from the dead. And we see some interesting things here. Now, to understand this story fully, in full context, you must understand a little bit about Jewish history. Women, before Jesus came, could only do two things: make babies and make the home. That was all that they were qualified to do. That was all they were allowed to do. And Jesus came, and some things are changing. And so even in the Jewish time, they couldn't be in a men's space. When they went into the temple, up here is the Holy of Holies. Here's the holy place. Here's where the priests worship. Here's where the men worship. And then down here is where the animals worship. And below where the animals are at, or where the sacrificial animals for worship, below where the animals are at, that's where the women were allowed to worship. And then the outer court of the Gentiles. That's how lowly women were thought of in Jesus' day. They could not be in the synagogue. They could not be at the feet of a teacher. They could not get any education. They were literally a subclass. Even in our Bible, a Jewish book, when we see that Jesus fed the 5,000, it says, besides the women and children, they didn't even count the women in service. And so we see this story, and it's generally taught and preached as an outward service with an inward worship. An outward service with an inward worship. Now, usually preached as two different personality types or two different styles, but one we always see as being right and the other we look at as wrong. We say, oh, Martha, you're cumbered about and you're wrong for serving this way while Mary is at the feet of Jesus. But what I want you to see today is that both are necessary. We have to have Christians who are ready to inwardly worship and outwardly serve, but listen, we got to keep that order. It has to first be inward before it can be outward. They work in tandem, but we have to make sure that the order is right. Worship comes before service. Too many Christians are trying to put their hands on it before they put their heart on it. Let me say it again. Too many Christians are trying to put their hand on it before they put their heart on it. Be faithful to serve, not serving to be faithful. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Listen, it's not wrong to have your hand on the plow, but if you're looking back and your heart's not right, you're not looking where you're going, then the plow's not doing us any good. Hear me. Jesus says, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And I think that we get into a place of complacency in the church. We get into a place of complacency. And I'll tell you this, even in my own life, my staff hates me right now. I just want to pray for them. They hate me right now. And I don't care. Because listen, this is the time of year where we grow, but it's also the time of year where we become complacent. And I refuse to be complacent because watch this. Listen, you might see me and I'm in my office this morning digging in because the Lord changed my heart about 5 a.m. and changed the message. But watch, my heart has to be absolutely right before I go and do a service for the Lord. It doesn't do any good. There's thousands of people out serving the Lord today and their heart's wrong. They're in adulterous affairs. They're looking at somebody's booty cheeks when they're in the pulpit. Get out of it! And get your heart right. I don't want you teaching Sunday school if your heart's not right. I don't want you singing in this choir. The choir hears me say it all the time. This is an important part. And part of what we do in there is just motivation to have our hearts right before we sing to the Lord, because this isn't for entertainment. This be for the Lord. Somebody said glory. I wish I had my noon crowd on Wednesday. They might stomp and say something. Y'all lazy. The noon crowd, they get up. We're back to Costa at noon, and that's okay with me. Amen. They say, oh, Pastor, well, are we allowed to wave our hands? Can we wave a hanky? Can we stomp our feet? Listen, you got a black preacher, you better get used to it. Because I'm going to just preach how I preach. You know, I'm just going to be who I am. But listen to me. We have to have our heart right before we can get our hands right. My mama used to say when she was cooking, she said, I put my foot in that. And I said, Mama, that's nasty. Why would you put your foot in that? And her point was, she put her whole heart in that. She was putting the work in. Before she ever prepared the meal, she had her heart set on how delicious this was going to be. Amen? I'm going to be real quick this morning. You don't believe me, but watch me. Number one. Stop worrying about how well you do it and start worrying about how weak you are. Your heart will get right when you know how weak you are. Stop worrying about how well you do it and start worrying about how weak you are. Let's read the text here. Stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 this morning. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, that's Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Heavenly Father, hide me behind your cross, Lord. Let me do service to your word. I only want to preach it. Lord, I ask this blessing now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Here's the scene. How many older siblings do I have here this morning? Anybody's the older, or you have a younger sibling? We despise you, all of us babies in the bunch. So now I know who the real sinners are in the Shores Baptist Church, and it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense to me. Martha's the oldest, and she's working all about as a woman in this culture, and she's looking around, and she busts into the scene, and Mary's at the feet of Jesus. She's at a place for men. Listen, we had men's prayer breakfast yesterday, and women ought not be there except for Aria. She's allowed to be wherever she wants. Amen. Like I said, all you parents are bad and all the kids are good. Amen. That's how Uncle Pastor Bryson sees it. Pray for me. Thursday, I'm taking our Heavenly Hearts preschool fishing. Lord, what have I gotten myself into? I'll say, but I'm excited. Eli Morton, he thought we were going fishing today when I said it Thursday, and he did not want to leave. He said, we're going in your truck, a Chevy Silverado, Pastor, and he had to leave, and I felt so bad. But Thursday, I promised him we're going to catch a fish. Pray for me that we catch a fish. Amen. If I come away fishless, I'm going to have to jump in. I'm going to be like a bear. I'm just going to go in and catch it with my hands if I can't catch it with my pole. Amen. But listen, she's the oldest, and so you just do what the oldest says. And she busts in. She says, here I am over here. I'm getting all the chicken, the greens, the macaroni and cheese, the potato salad, everything together. I got the salad forks out, the dinner fork out, the spoon, the knife, the plate's just so right. And she's sitting in there not doing nothing at the feet of Jesus. She's not even supposed to be in there. She's a woman. She's not allowed to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. She's not allowed to be in the room alone with men. What is she doing in there? But you know what? She said, I got everything straight. I got everything right. But you know what she was doing? She was worrying about how well it was going to be done, how well the dinner was going to be done, how well everything was going to be laid out. But what she didn't realize is how weak she really was. She's the same one that runs to Jesus when Lazarus dies and said, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. See, if your heart was right, Jesus had asked, do you believe I can do this? Yes, Lord, I believe you. But look at the command she gives to Jesus. She goes in there and says, you don't care that she's not doing something? You don't care at all? Tell her. Tell her to come and help me, Lord. Tell her to get out of this man's place and go start doing women business. But see, everything changed when Jesus came. Amen. Jesus says to her, you're worrying about all the wrong things. Look at verse 41. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha. I like when he says her name twice because that's given emphasis. It is that emphasis. Hey, listen, I really want you to hear me. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're worrying about all the wrong things at this moment. See, Jesus isn't worried about food because, if you remember, Jesus can make water into wine. Jesus can make little turn into much. Jesus said, don't you know I can command these stones and that even they will cry out? Jesus couldn't do anything. And so he's not worried about how good the food's going to be or when the food gets ready. Jesus is in here giving this spiritual food. He's in here giving this word. And that's really important. It's the most important thing. He says, you're worried about all the wrong things. Let me give you a modern day example. Some of you are worried about what your car looks like on the inside and the outside, but your headlights are broken. You worry about if your car is clean on the outside, if the tires look nice, but your tags are expired. Worry about if you got it vacuumed inside, but you can't remember the last time you got an oil change. Listen to me. All that might seem good on the outside, but if the heart of the car is wrong, eventually you're going to end up on the side of the road. Amen. Eventually you're going to end up with a ticket. Eventually something bad's going to happen. Look, but watch this. If you'll realize how weak you are, you'll stop running around when you can't do it anymore. You notice she wasn't, when Lazarus died, she's not running around trying to serve Jesus. She's looking for help. And she's also saying, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. The outward appearance, God doesn't even look at that. God doesn't look at the outer appearance. He looks on the heart. You can come to church all you want and put on your suit and tie. You can come to church all you want and sing the hymns. You can come to church and know all the songs. You can come to church and serve. You can come to church. Listen, that's right. Serving is good. But if your heart's not right, don't put your hand on it if you don't have your heart on it. You can have everything in order. See, what Martha's doing, we look at the story and we act like she was wrong. She's not wrong for wanting to serve the master. She's wrong for serving the master with the wrong heart. And I wonder to ourselves, do we sometimes serve the master with the wrong heart? Do we do it because it's a job? Do we do it because we feel like we have to out of duty or obligation? Do we do it out of Christian religious tradition? Why do we serve the Lord if you don't do it with the right heart? Now, I'm going to tell you something that makes people cringe. Sometimes as a pastor, somebody say, why would you let somebody serve in that capacity? Or why did you let somebody do that? And this is my response, because their heart's right. They might not even be the best at it. But I'd rather have somebody that's average at it with the right heart than somebody that's really good at it with the wrong heart. Because you know what I found out about people with the wrong heart? When they have the wrong heart about how to serve God, they usually have the wrong heart about a lot of other things. They usually have the wrong heart about how they live their lives. They usually have the wrong heart about how they're going to actually do the right things by God, and their integrity is not always intact. And so you have to be perceptive, and I'm always teaching this, and I always tell my guys, listen, you got to be able to see it like I see it. And sometimes when I explain why I do what I do, they go, I never thought of that. And I say, I know, because if you would have, you would have done it. But watch. But that's because, not because I'm perfect, but even when I'm serving, I'm busy around, I've had my heart so right. I've already prepared myself way before I come into this place to see it, to open up. Because listen, all my service doesn't do any good. What good does it do for me to come in here and preach the word of God if my heart's not right? What good is it? We're going to baptize 3 people today. What good is it for us to be able to disciple people up, train people up, baptize people if our heart's not right? If we're like, oh, just no big deal. It is what it is. Listen. Martha's buzzing all around, and Jesus says, you're careful and troubled. The words careful and troubled, careful literally means you're stressed out, you're anxious. Troubled literally means what troubled means. You got problems going on. You got all these problems, and what you need to stop and realize is how weak you are. I'd rather somebody step out of a ministry and come and sit in the service and get at the feet of the Word of God than to keep buzzing all about messed up. There's a couple of things that irritate your pastor. When I say a couple, I use that as 2 things. Now, there's probably 100, but 2 really irritate me. I'm going to tell you what they are. One, the first thing that irritates me is a lack of attention to detail. This is just a lack of attention to detail. That bothers me. When people miss the details on things, I'm not just talking about my staff, I'm just talking about in life. Like, you guys never would know this. This is annoying, but I can't stand when these tissue boxes are sideways or when they have the wrong color tissues in them. If one of them has cream and two of them have white, I'm gonna chop somebody's head off after service. Because they know that's not what it's supposed to look like. Listen, I want the rug swept before and after service. Cleaning teams come and clean Friday, and then the staff cleans again on Sunday morning. Because what we do for God matters. So I'm very, very attentive to the details, the grass, the different things that go on out here. Listen, I see things. Over here, these people don't want to mow their lawn. And so I say, guess what we're going to do? Y'all got to go mow it. Because people pull in, they can't differentiate if it's ours or if it's theirs. But if they think it's ours and they think we got our weeds growing up, they're going to put that on the church. So just listen, it's going to take five extra seconds. Just weed eat the stupid thing, man. Very attentive to details. You would never notice it. You'd never see it, but it drives me nuts. I thought it was a good idea to get a black baby grand piano, but that thing is so dusty. So here I am wiping it down. Here I am. And you can dust it this morning, and by evening service, you got to dust it again. Very attentive to the details. I want to make sure we're going to stainless steel. We're going to do this, the chairs. I see everything. I see everything. My previous job, if you didn't see it all, you could die. You let somebody sneak in with a knife or some drugs, you got to see everything. So I've been trained since I was 19 years old to see everything. My pastor, my training pastor, will be here in a couple weeks to sing for us. He taught us, and before I was ever on staff, he didn't have to teach me how to be detailed. Now, he's extremely detailed. I'll tell him to his face when he gets here. But he's crazy about detail. But one of the reasons why I rose up so quickly as an assistant pastor and was able to start a church is because I came in with that mindset. I saw it. I can see every fingerprint on that front door when I go out there, even if the sun's not out, because I care, because my heart's right. I've been trained to do it, so that annoys me. You know what the second thing is that annoys me? Here's the second thing that really annoys me. People who serve or want to serve, but they never, ever want to be in service. The safety team knows this. I put a TV out there where they can get sound because we want somebody out there protecting us because, Lord forbid, there's all kinds of crazy stuff, and I thank them for their service, but I want them to be able to hear the service. Every person in here has heard me say that serves all the time, you can't do every ministry because sometimes you need to be in here at the feet of Jesus. I appreciate your service. I do it to my wife. You can't just be in the nursery every week. Somebody calls in, get somebody else to do it. You need to get in here and hear the word of God. And so I chase people out. Sometimes Brother Anthony's out front, and I go tell him, and I say, Anthony, get everybody in service. Could be a Wednesday, could be a Sunday. Get everybody in there. Because all this being busy about things, if you never listen and pay attention to the word of God, if you're so prideful, if you're so arrogant that you don't think you need to listen to the word of God, I'm not talking about the preacher, I'm talking about the word of God, then your heart's not right. You sit down. I tell my assistants, one of the things that I was robbed of as an assistant is I was so busy, and by the time I got finished, as I grew in my spirituality, I said, no, I got to sit down and get in service. I can't be busy with everybody else. So somebody come to me, hey, this is going on. Listen, the water fountain's overflooding. I say, well, listen, I guess it's going to be overflooding until after service is over. Because sometimes there's just something more important. So I had to get away from that and just say, no. Unless it was an emergency, I'm going to sit in there and get it at the feet of Jesus. Because here's what I know about myself. I'm weak. The longer I go without hearing from Jesus, the weaker I get. Where I am weak, he is. So I better get in his presence. But I want you to understand this. Number two, realize the necessity in the situation. Look at verse 42. The very beginning of that verse, it says, but one thing is needful. Needful is a business term. And it literally means you're needful in your business because you have become destitute. You're in destitution. You are now in poverty. And so when you know that you're weak, remember Jesus says, you came to me when I was naked, and when I was at my weakest, the angels came to Jesus and ministered to him when he's at his weakest after temptation. If Jesus gets weak, if Jesus is impoverished, then you and I get that way as well. And so he says, what's needful is in this situation is that you have to understand, Martha, you're currently in poverty. It looks like you got everything together. You got the fine china out. You got the good cups. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't eat on paper plates. You had good company over. You got everything set out in the place settings. Everything looks good. But what you're really needful of, it all looks good, is the parts you're missing and you're impoverished. Just because you're serving doesn't mean you're not in spiritual poverty. Just because you're able to get it done doesn't mean that spiritually you're fully intact. Just because you're serving don't mean that everything's all good. You know what I realize about people? Some people grumble when opportunity knocks. I want a chance. I want an opportunity. Then opportunity comes and you're mad. Who's that knocking at the door? It was opportunity. Why is somebody knocking? Listen, this has never happened to me, and I pray it does someday. But I know sometimes people can't find the address when they deliver a pizza, and they deliver it to the wrong house, and they say, is this your house? Did you order a pizza? And I know I didn't order a pizza. I'm like, no, but my neighbor's is on vacation. You can give it to me. Say, I ain't no fool. When opportunity knocks, I'm going to take full advantage. Amen. But some people grumble. Oh, I want a man. Then you get a man. Now you mad about him. Oh, yeah, I wanted to get my hair cut. Now you mad the way they cut your hair. I can help you out. Gillette Mach 3. I want some new clothes. Well, they don't fit just right. Well, it ain't nobody's fault that you gained weight. Come on now. Oh, I can't believe it. I did this and I did that. And opportunity's knocking all around you, and you're grumbling. Isn't that what happened with the children of Israel? Time after time after time, here's the opportunity. Get right. Here's the opportunity. Get right. And they murmuring.
Well, all we got is bread to eat. It tastes like honey and coriander, and God sent it down from heaven.
I mean, that's a miracle. Yes.
But we got to go out and collect it, but we're tired of that. We want some flesh to eat. We want some chicken.
They had the audacity to say,
oh, back when we were back in Egypt, we had fish in Egypt and the leeks and the cucumbers and the melons. We missed that fresh salad. It was like Ruby Tuesday in Egypt.
Yeah, but you were slaves, stupid. Here's opportunity. Who is it?
Jesus, got some quail for you. That's all you've got?
Excuse me?
Who is it?
This is the Lord thy God.
Well, okay, what do you need, God?
If God knocks on your door, just answer. Come on in. You hear me knocking? Well, come on in. Let me listen. But this is what we do. Listen to me. Here's the opportunity she's missing. Realize the necessity of the situation. Here you are impoverished. You're mad. You're upset. You're struggling. And she's forgetting that her sister's sitting at the foot of man hearing, and you're able to be sitting there with her, and you're grumbling about it. Here's the greatest opportunity in the history of mankind to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him teach and preach the word of God, being the word of God. And you mad because your sister won't help you serve. Ooh. Don't we get mad at all the wrong things? Here we are in church. Here's our nasty little church attitude.
Well, I do this and this and this and this, and they don't do nothing.
You got the wrong heart. You need to remember that you're impoverished, that you're wrong. Listen, God is long-suffering toward usward. Listen, he's not worried about everybody doing all these services. Never forget this. You're not doing anything God can't do. What are they going to do without me? God will bring somebody else to do it. Well, you know what? This is some good stuff. After you've been in church for a long time and after you've been around and you've been serving, you know what I found out about it is? Somebody don't have the right heart and they get out of that situation and God brings somebody and they do it 10 times better than the last person that was doing it. I say, oh, thank the Lord. Never get so big and think that you're not impoverished enough. Never get so wise to think that nobody could ever do it like me. Psh, yeah, right. God is like, man, I'll bring somebody in that can do it 10 times better than you. And they'll have the right heart about it. Amen. Number three, I want you to understand that we got to prioritize the priorities. Prioritize the priorities. Look at verse 42. He says, hey, this is what's needful. You need this. You're impoverished. You need the word of God more than you need to be serving me. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He says Mary is prioritizing the priority. The word of God is the priority, isn't it? We have a checklist of things that need to get done around here. And they're not really in any order, but there are some higher priorities than others. Now, you may have different priorities, and you may think that something else is prioritized or should be prioritized over something else, but this is just how we do, okay? One of our first priorities at any given time, at any given service, I don't care if it's young at heart, so I don't care if it's a ladies' meeting, is that we want the building to be clean. We want the building to be ready. We want the trash to be out. We want it to be in order, okay? We want everything to be set up. We don't just sling chairs around. We want them to be nice and there, you know, put table cover. We want the stuff to be in order. This is a priority of ours, and we got to prioritize. We want the lawn, the landscaping to look good. We want the trash to be picked up. We want things when you pull in here. We want all these things to be done. We want some certain things to be happening in this place. And so when we get to our ministries, one of the things we want to make sure is we prioritize Sunday school. And so if somebody's out or something's here, we're not going to just cancel Sunday school. We prioritize that we're still going to have it. We prioritize our children's Sunday school classes. And so either we're going to combine them or we're going to get another teacher for that. We prioritize Awana ministry. We prioritize these ministries. But listen, you have to have some prioritizing of the priorities done. See these mums right here? They need to be watered, but it's not my highest priority. It's not my highest priority. It might be one of Nancy's highest priorities, but it's not one of mine. On Sunday morning when we get here, I'm not thinking about them mums. So we just, well, listen, if they look a little dry, they just look a little dry today. Because the whole purpose of everything we do on that checklist is to be able to clearly present the Word of God without any distraction, without anybody being cumbered about, anybody having to struggle. We don't want you coming in here and going, wow, the building looks really dirty today, which is going to affect your ability to hear the Word of God. We don't want you to come in. Listen, there's all kinds of things that can drive us nuts, all kinds of things that will be wrong. But if your mind is set and fixed on something else, you're prioritizing that in your mind, then you can't prioritize that which is good in your heart. So we want to do everything we can to limit any distraction that would pull away from the preaching of the Word of God and from the ministering from the Word of God. There's times where you see me cumbered about moving in and out to count or to do this or that, and then there's times where I just have to go sit beside sweet Kaylin and say, I'm going to stand beside you, and I'm singing the songs out good and loud, and they're doing the things I need to do, because I knew today once Brother Chuck was out that I was going to do the hymns, and so I wanted to make sure that I had already got my praise and worship on, because usually I have to go count while Brother Chuck is doing that. So let me get my praise and worship on, because now I'm going to be serving. See how it works? I don't do anything by accident or surprise. Everything is planned and thought about before I do it. Even my worship. Even the way that I go about doing things. That's why I like there to be a song before I preach, because it's that last opportunity I get to just make sure my heart is completely right. And so, you know, one cool thing about being the pastor is I just got to pick the song this morning before I preach and say, you know what? I want to make sure that's why I changed the word. See, Diddy's in prison now. Somebody else got to be in charge of remixes. Amen? That's why I changed the word to the song. We heard it out in Texas. I'm going to change it because I want to make sure that we're prioritizing the Word of God. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Sometimes I'm just giving busy work to people. The reason why I'm giving them busy work is so they'll leave me alone so I can get my stuff done. Because you just over here wasting time, so I like to do this. I'm not talking about my staff. I'm just talking about people in general. Sometimes my kids, you know, they come downstairs. Dad, let's do this. Let's do that. I'm trying to study or something like that. I'm like, hey, didn't Mr. Dave give y'all some pickleball stuff? Why don't y'all go out there and play pickleball for a little bit? Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank the Lord. Just give them some busy work. It's easy for my sons. Hey, listen, I'll give you my debit card, man. Why don't y'all go get us something to eat? I know that's going to take at least 2 hours for them to come back. Everyone, Because they learn from their daddy. They're going to go and get their ride and fries. They're going to eat at the restaurant. They're going to eat on the way home and finally bring me something back too. Amen. I know that's a journey. So I got at least 2 hours to be alone. I want my wife to be busy. This is easy for her too. I want my wife to be busy. I'm like, hey, you know what? I heard the other day that they had a sale. She's cheap. I said, they got a sale on some things you really need. She said, where? I said, over at Kroger. They said it was buy 10, get 100 free or something like that. Crazy like that. She said, I'm on the way. I know she's going to leave me alone for an hour. I got to prioritize the priority. When I'm trying to get into the Word of God, when I'm trying to study, when I'm trying to do, a lot of times I like noise when people are around, but when I'm really focused in, when I'm really locked in, it's like, okay, I need a little bit of silence. Listen, that's what Jesus is telling her. He's saying, listen, you're here, you have the ability, you have this great opportunity to be at my feet and hearing from the Word of God. Y'all don't get this opportunity as Jewish women. You've never been allowed to do this before. And here I am. And you get to just sit here. All that stuff will get done later. I'll send Mary when I'm done preaching. And it'll still get done. Younger hearts, they had this at Growing the Family Day. told Brother Brandon, you tell the young hearts, I don't want them to cut the stupid pies. The people can cut the stupid pies themselves. I want them in service listening. Why? Because I care about them, and I care about them hearing the word of God more than I care about them stupid pies. These are Baptist people. They'll figure it out. Trust me. Most of the kids just going to put their hand in it anyway. They don't know that word. They're just going to scoop it like this. It's not because I'm mean. It's because I'm trying to make sure that we do that thing which is needful, that we prioritize the priorities. Because people get religious, and it's not wrong, it's nice, but people get religious and they get into church and they do these things and they're like, we want to do this, we want to do this, and we want to make sure it's like this, and we make sure it's like that. But none of that stuff will matter if we're affecting how people are able to be saved. You know what happened? People got saved that day. Why? I want everybody to sit quiet, not jingle your keys or look for what's next when it's time for invitation. Why? Because we don't want to disrupt or interfere with the priority, which is that people would be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so if you mess that up, it's because you were buzzing around like Martha instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let me tell you this much. If you haven't won anybody to the Lord ever, or if you haven't won anybody to the Lord this year, and I get the invitation and you don't listen to your preacher give you the exact blueprint of how to win somebody to Christ, shame on you. Because it just told you how to do it. Hey, the reason why you don't win anybody to the Lord is because you don't try. It's either you don't know or you don't try. And every single week, I give you the opportunity to learn how to do this. People say, Pastor, that's really harsh. Go you therefore. Teach all nations. It's not what I asked you to do. It's what Jesus commanded you to do. Pastor, when's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? This week. When's the last time you went to somebody? Pretty much every day. My son Xavier, his spot is the gym. He talks to people at the gym, witnesses to everybody. Mine is the grocery store. Because you got to talk to people in places that you know. I know a lot about groceries. I had 37 kids for 20 years now. And I do the grocery shopping in my house. And so I can go into the grocery store and I say, hey, what are you looking at there? Oh, you guys like checks? Yeah, my kids don't really like checks. I was talking to Sister Maddie at Heavenly Hearts the other day. I said, I get tired if I see these parents feeding their baby Cheerios. Those don't have no flavor at all. That's child abuse. You couldn't give them some Fruit Loops or something, some Count Chocolate? Y'all gave them some, like, not even Honey Nut Cheerios, just Cheerios? Like, and then you wonder why they grow up and they don't want to eat that nonsense. They looking at you like, you don't want no bowl of Cheerios. You didn't put no blueberries or a banana or nutching in it. Amen? They little Gerber Fruit Puffs taste better than Cheerios. The only person I know that loves Cheerios that much is Henry Cockman. I saw Henry Cockman eat 40,000 Cheerios one day. He loves them. You know, I think it's really important for us to prioritize the priorities. The main priority is to reach the lost, to disciple the saints, and to do it all over again. She's missing an opportunity for Jesus to teach, and what she doesn't realize is soon Jesus will be dead, and she will be one of those disciples, one of those, see, the feet of Jesus was actually reserved for the disciples. She'll be one of those people that would propel the gospel because she saw Lazarus, her brother, raised from the dead. And in John chapter 12, they're sitting there, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was serving, and Lazarus is sitting at the table. And listen, I'm just telling you what I know and not what I heard, but the Bible says this. Eventually, those women are going to be people who are prevalent in the New Testament in propelling and getting the gospel out. And I think at some point, it doesn't show us this. I'm just guessing this. I think at some point when Jesus died and resurrected, Martha went, oh. See, sometimes we get comfortable in church because we just think we got all the time in the world. She probably thought, he ain't nothing but 32 years old. I got plenty of time. Tradition would tell us that she's about the same age. So we got plenty of time. We got 40, 50 years for Jesus to be preaching. This dinner is more important right now. You ever done some stuff that you thought was more important right now? All parents, they think their kids' sports more important right now. I've told you before. I told the kids yesterday at men's prayer, and I don't apologize for this. I don't feel bad about it at all. Listen, little dudes come up to me. I'm going to try out for the basketball team, Pastor. Don't. You're not any good. I've watched you outside. Like, you can't make layups. You're already in the eighth grade. It's too late. There's no catching up. I think I'm gonna be like Shaquille O'Neal. You 4'7". You're just not gonna be good. Oh, Pastor, I'm gonna play volleyball. You one of these girls. I'm gonna play volleyball. I seen you at camp, and you got two left feet, and you got no coordination at all. Get in band. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, and if you're in band and you can't play the instrument good, get out of band and go play sports. We got so many people out here prioritizing the wrong things, and the right thing is to be at the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm going to be finished with this. Martha had a priority, but she wasn't looking at the best available situation. The best available situation was to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus was there, but instead she was looking at the second best option. She was going, okay, Jesus is here teaching, and I could be doing that, but instead I'll go and serve everybody. They're both right, just the wrong order. They're both spiritual and biblical, just the wrong order. She just had the wrong priority. There's something that we should do. When the NFL draft goes on, they put on the screen best available. They say, okay, so we start with this draft board, and there's hundreds of people drafted in seven rounds, and they start at the top of this, and you get through one and two, and every time it drops off, it says best available. Who's the next best player that could be drafted? And then there's never any criticism when there's a consensus and somebody takes who everybody perceives to be one of the next best. The only trouble comes when there's best available and you take somebody that ain't nowhere near. When you got the best available 50 and you take 67, then everybody starts going, why would they? And every once in a while it works out, but most of the time it doesn't. Most of the time it goes awry. And I want you to hear this today. Jesus is the best available. He's the best available. And so if you are prioritizing your life correctly, all the other stuff in life is secondary to prioritizing the right heart in worshiping God. If God were to give us a best available list, best available things you could do, the best available ways that you could please Him, on the top of His list would be to glorify Jesus. How do I know that? Now, can you glorify Jesus through service? Yes, but we've already talked about this. But you can't glorify Jesus through service if you're not first glorifying Jesus as Savior. First thing you got to do is just want to get to the Savior and get around the Savior, get to His feet. Because if Jesus isn't the Savior of all things, then He's not the Savior at all. And so God says, here's the priority list. Watch this. This is how we do it, and this is how God does it. God said, here's the priority list. He says, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name. God the Father did that himself, and it's to the glory of God the Father at the end of that. So God says, the first thing I want you to do is have the right attitude, the right heart, and worship my Son. Glorify my Son. Praise my Son. We sing that song. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. Listen, the first thing we got to do when you wake up, praise Him. In the middle of the day, praise Him. Before you go to bed, praise Him. When something good happens, praise Him. When something bad happens, praise Him, because you know He's going to fix it if you go to Him, because He's an on-time God. Oh, I heard something this morning. I ain't going to put no names out, but somebody had cancer and now it's just gone. The doctors and nurses, they can scan and they can do what they want to do. But listen, in the midst of all that, you ain't going to stop praising them because you don't know what God's going to do. They looking at this thing, they say, I went to medical school for 30,000 years. And we looking at the scans, we don't understand. And I'm looking, I'm going, praise His name. But here's how we do. Watch this. Some of y'all was like this morning. Do we have everything? Parents, talk back to me if you can now. Watch this. I don't need no Bible reader. I just need a parent book reader for a moment. Watch this. Kids, do you have all of your stuff? Do you have your Bible? Do you know where your Awana book is? How about the vest? Have you eaten breakfast? Are your hands clean? Did you brush your teeth? Husbands, holler back now if you hear me. Are you ready yet? How long is it going to take you to get that face and hair done? Ladies, you can holler back if you hear this. You're telling me you didn't put no fuel in the vehicle? Why are we getting gas on Sunday morning when you could have took your trifling self out on Saturday night and done it? Now we got to pull over and waste 10 minutes and probably money because now the kids is in the back talking about, I want donuts, I want cookie, can I have a chocolate milk? If you just went to the gas station yourself on Saturday night, you wouldn't have to worry about all that drama on Sunday morning. See, I've been there. I told you, I got 50-11 kids. I've done this before. I ain't new to this. I'm true to this. We worry about all the wrong things. When I get to the church this morning, I got to get this done and this done and this done. I got to make sure this is right, this is right, this is right, this is right. But was there any a time before you came where you just got you right? Before you get stuff right, get you right. I'm real serious about that. I'm very particular about that. I told you, it's one of my, in that annoyance level, it's one of those things that bothers me. I don't want my staff to get here and start working. I want them to be in the Word of God and prayer. Nothing good happens at this church without prayer and the right heart for God. Even things that annoy me, if I walked in, I'd be like, oh, man, they forgot to do this. Well, let's get that hour done, then I'll tell you to go do it. It's really, really important to me. Because of a set of verses and because of other things Jesus says, he's, listen, you do all this lip service, but your heart is far from me. It doesn't matter how much you say you love God, because if you really loved God, you'd be around God. Yes. Can I entertain you with this today? And I'm finished. God is not interested in your uses. God is not interested in your excuses. See, some of y'all that make excuses not to serve God, I want to make sure I get a little something on you too. Because some of y'all sitting back there just, you know, just in your little fake spiritual clothes, they always serving around, but my heart is right. No, it wasn't an excuse for you to be lazy either. It wasn't an excuse for you not to serve in a local church either. So understand what I'm saying. God's not interested in your uses. Because again, God could use anybody for anything. Watch this. God used a whore to marry a prophet to tell us a story of Israel. He said, Hosea, go down there and get Gomer. She ain't going to be no faithful to you. And she's going to have some kids out of wedlock on you. But just keep on taking her back. What? What kind of story is this? The story of Hosea. God used that. God used a little shepherd boy with sheep poop on him to be the king of Israel. God used a donkey wrangler to be the first king of Israel. God used a little baby born in a manger of a Jewish family who would go and live in the ghetto of Galilee to rise up and be the Messiah and Savior of the entire world. God can use anybody. He don't need your uses, but he certainly doesn't need your excuses. God wants to use you, let him use you. But the third thing about that is, listen, he doesn't need your uses and God doesn't need your excuses, but here's what God wants and knows that is good for us. God, he wants you and I to have this heart. What God does want is a heart. The entire struggle with Israel, the entire struggle with Christianity is a battle for our heart. God says, the heart of man. God says, I wasn't looking. Saul, you fit the bill, but your heart's not right. So I got to go find me a man who's after my own heart. Saul looked better. Big old boy. Saul was probably better suited to be the king and be a warrior at that time. But he wasn't fit for service because his heart wasn't right. I'm going to ask you today to bow your head and close your eyes with me. To take a moment in the quietness of this room to ask yourself in truth, being honest with yourself, being honest with God, because God knows either way. Am I more about serving the Lord? Or am I more about the heart of service to the Lord? With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the music begins to play in the background softly, Lord Jesus, we need you. If we're not at your feet, then we're going to have a lot of fodder.